One of the things that I'm very passionate about is the right to repair. It's such an important topic, but repair and DIY are also inextricably linked. And there is a continued DIY boom, driven first again by the pandemic, but now by inflation. And it's interesting, the housing market is in decline in many areas of the world. And that means that interiors, we're seeing less new builds and more renovations. In the US, for example, it is the first time that we are seeing more renovations than new construction.
That's Lisa White, our Creative Director and Director of Interiors. And in this episode, we discuss our latest white paper, Home Lifestyles 2025. I'm Carla Bazzacchi, CEO of WGSN, and your host for this episode of the Create Tomorrow podcast. Here at WGSN, as well as all the many reports and articles that we publish throughout the year, we also put out two significant white papers, Future Consumer at the start of the year, and then a follow-up around Q3. Home Lifestyles 2025 really delves into the product opportunities for your business in the home of 2025, as it further evolves into a multi-purpose place to work, unwind, exercise, educate the kids, entertain friends, and so much more. Continue listening for more of a taster about this insightful piece of WGSN research. Most of us are now living in a post-pandemic world, although I always feel I need to caveat with most. We have quite a large team of WGSNers in China, where people are still going in and out of lockdown, sadly, due to COVID. But the majority of the world now lives in a post-pandemic scenario. But what's really interesting is how many behaviours have stuck with us that became learned during the pandemic. Things like working from home, and I'm talking as someone who's sitting at my dining room table at the moment recording this. But with all of that, then further compounded by tough financial climate, cost of living crisis also in many parts of the world, people are definitely spending more time in their homes, arguably, than ever before. So Lisa, what does this new Home Lifestyles 2025 report cover, and how is it reflective of how people are living their lives right now?
Well, basically, we decided to cover a lot of ground on this white paper. So we've got four sections. We've got one that's live intentionally, work dynamically, rest restoratively, and play immersively. So each of these sections looks at all the things that we do in the home now, because it's really a multi-purpose space. And again, that started with the pandemic and continues on to this day. But we also give the opportunities for product design and highlight some pioneering case studies. So each section also has a room focus, such as the flexible workspace, which we are both working from, or the self-care bathroom, for example. And each of these interior spaces is really intimately interconnected with all of the industries we cover: fashion, beauty, interiors, food and drink, and tech. Because consumer products are now so interconnected. So, you know, today no one industry can exist alone. Just think about how much clothes and food influence so much of people's lives and how much of that begins at home. Lifestyles begin at home.
It is such an interesting time, and you and I had many conversations during the pandemic about what that meant for the interior space, and I would talk to other WGSN directors about what that might mean for fashion or food and drink. But I think your point there about how everything has become even more interconnected because of the fact that the work space and the living space have become kind of as entwined as, you know, the pings that come through on your phone with your emails and what have you. There's really kind of no barriers anymore, which I think is definitely reflected in this white paper and why it is so relevant to so many different industries. Now, we're deep in the throes, sadly, in many parts of the world, of a cost of living crisis. What does this white paper offer in terms of brand strategies for businesses where the consumer's discretionary spending has really been curtailed?
Yeah, the cost of living crisis is really making consumers increasingly seek more control in their lives. So how they can take steps and have agency to meet their needs and especially their budgets. So brands really need to be respectful of this. One of the things that I'm very passionate about is the right to repair. It's such an important topic. For example, people are expecting their products to last longer or to include repair wear, whether that's, you know, being able to mend your own sweater or your own shoes, or getting a phone or a washing machine easily repaired with a local professional. But repair and DIY are also inextricably linked. And there is a continued DIY boom, driven first again by the pandemic, but now by inflation. And it's interesting, the housing market is in decline in many areas of the world. And that means that interiors, we're seeing less new builds and more renovations. In the US, for example, it is the first time that we are seeing more renovations than new construction. And consumers are focusing on DIY to make their homes more comfortable as well, too, and also more saleable when they need to put them on the housing market. So also renting is on the rise, and temporary decorative solutions for renters, like removable wallpapers, which are fantastic, are seeing a lot of newness.
This is all so relevant to the way that I personally live my life. So for those of you listening at home at the moment, if I sound slightly echoier than I normally do, it's because I've had to move down from the bedroom, which has sort of been turned into my home office in the past couple of years, to the dining room table, because I have got roofers crawling around on my roof at the moment. Because like many other people, we're really conscious in terms of our gas bills and our electricity bills and the like. So we've had new cladding put on our roof to try and keep as much heat in as possible, and new tiles, which are lighter as well, but also more heat efficient. And it is making you think about things in a very different way, how we're going to adapt as humans to everything that's going on around us at the moment. I just want to pick up on something you said in answer to that question, which is about the idea that, you know, consumers are repairing. Now, if I'm running a business right now that sells products to consumers, that kind of might fill me with horror. The suggestion that people aren't going to be buying new anymore, they're just going to be repairing what they've got. Great for the environment, good for consumers' purse strings. But what about for the businesses and brands who are producing product? Does this mean that they've got tough kind of times ahead, or is there an opportunity within it?
There really is an opportunity, because when you are making something that lasts longer, it is actually a great business plan, because people will go to you because they know they can trust you and they know that what you're producing is going to be with them for the long term. So that makes you love that brand that much more. And so we're really seeing a lot of opportunity there too. And we can learn from the luxury industry in many ways, even if we're talking about something that is super, super close to home, that is just, you know, your local. If you are able to get something that is going to be part of your life, that you're going to love for longer, well, then that's just, you know, definitely a win for any brand.
You're listening to the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast. I'm Carla Bazzacchi, and I'm talking to Lisa White about our latest white paper, Home Lifestyles 2025. Next, we discuss how a tough financial climate doesn't mean ignoring the state of the actual climate and the challenges we face in reducing global warming. In fact, these two factors can often lead to the same solutions. And just because people have less discretionary income, we're discovering it's not stopping their demands for sustainable products. Now, I think in line with the financial challenges, many people fear that this new change in the way that we're living will mean consumers ignore buying sustainably. But actually, this white paper shows that the two factors can often lead to the same solutions. Is that similar to what you've just said in terms of, you know, how financially we'll be thinking from a sustainability perspective?
Absolutely. I mean, like you're doing right now, people are thinking for the long term because we're really anxious about the short term. We know that this age of uncertainty is going to last for quite a while. So the decisions we make today, what we're buying today, what we're investing in today is going to be so important for our futures. And we know that in the long term, sustainable solutions are less expensive than non-sustainable ones when you take into account the true costs. And we've been having a lot of discussions in our different workshops with the directors and the heads. You know, and for example, when you are discussing organic versus non-organic in the food and textile industries, we really need to take a look at the cost of pesticides on public health and taxes, not to mention animal health. So 64% of people want to do more and be more mindful of the environment. And with the climate challenges we've been having across the world right now, that makes people increasingly aware of global warming and the importance of sustainability. And that's not going to change. And, you know, I think a lot of people would like to be more sustainable as much as they can. So it's key to make things that are easy for them, again, to keep longer, to recycle, to reuse. And even something as simple as creating a beautiful home composting a bucket. I would buy that in a minute.
I'm quite obsessed. I'm being trailed around the internet at the moment with an ad which says, this is the most expensive water butt. And it's this beautiful looking water butt. Looks like it's made of terracotta. So it'll go with all your nice terracotta planters outside. But it's a water butt, so that you're going to save all your rainwater. And obviously, I'm talking to you from the UK, where we had droughts this summer. And obviously, that was the same in many, many parts of the world. And we are just becoming more conscious about how self-sufficient we need to be. But also, there is an opportunity there to do that with products that are beautiful to look at as well. And that kind of is the sweet spot. I must say, I haven't actually bought that water butt yet, but I have a feeling come next summer it might be on my wish list.
You are thinking about it, yes.
Let's have a little chat about fashion right now. Are people still kind of clothing themselves in the way that they did during the pandemic? And again, speaking as a sample size of one, in leggings and sweatpants and, you know, lots of stretch fabrics, and, you know, the denim kind of went right to the back of the wardrobe or right to the back of the drawers in our cupboards. How has that evolved? And I guess more importantly, how do we think that's going to evolve when it comes to 2025?
Well, what's interesting, you know, in the fashion workshops that we've been having, there is a desire for smartening up, tailoring up when you go outside. But we are still spending so much time at home that comfort wear will continue in the home for a very, very long time, I think. And we're seeing things like all those hybrid footwears that go from slipper to streetwear really easily. There is so much innovation in recovery activewear also that helps and even hugs sore muscles, but looks good enough that you can just, you know, take it out on the town as well too. And one thing that I'm really fascinated by is that thermoregulated clothing. So that makes you, you know, hotter or cooler just close to your body, because why would you heat an entire room if you could just heat your body at your optimal temperature? And we're talking to somebody, I'm sitting here with woolen socks on. It does not sound sexy, but, you know, that's what you do when you're at your desk. So I think we're, you know, even in the future, you might even be sharing clothing with our furniture. And I'm obsessed personally with sweaters for chairs. And so they cover your chair, but they can also cover you at the same time. And I might have let the cat out of the bag because it's one of our top 10s for 2023, but totally obsessed with that right now.
I'm sitting here and I've got a big kind of knitted, technically it's a cardigan, but it probably could double up as a blanket. And it's always over the back of my chair. And Lisa can see it at the moment because I'm holding up to my camera. But obviously those of you listening won't be able to. But it's lots of bright colours. So it makes me kind of feel good and uplifted. So technically not bought as clothing for my chair, but kind of acts that way anyway. So I'm slightly ahead of the trend, but definitely one I'll be buying into. Now, we've spoken, we do speak a lot at WGSN about self-care. And on the WGSN Insight platform, we've just published a report about the age of anxiety. Our homes have always been haven, but do we address this aspect of the home in what we're talking about on this particular topic? Because I can imagine feeling safe and secure is only going to rise in importance in the face of such tumultuous times.
Exactly. That idea of the home as sanctuary really came to the fore in 2020, and it is continuing now in so many ways and evolving. And the idea of rest is going to be so important. You know, anxiety is at an all-time high across all demographics across the world. But our always-on culture means that people are looking to power down and rest, but it's not as easy as you would think. So rest represents a key opportunity to help consumers live better. 60% of people globally are interested in new information or strategies to help them get better sleep. I'm one of them. So that means low-tech sleep aids like Tulsi teas or high-tech sleep trackers and even smart mattresses that help you sleep better. But then also pleasurable things like chocolate that helps induce sleep, which I've already ordered because I'm a chocoholic, and that sounds like such a win-win.
Oh my goodness, what's the brand? I feel like I need this in my life.
I cannot remember right now. It's not a brand that wasn't easy to remember, but I will find that for you.
Yeah, that definitely is going on my list. I'm, obsessed with chocolate full stop, but really, really dark chocolate. And obviously that is not really a good thing to be eating just before you go to bed and then kind of keeping you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when you should be getting some proper Zeds and restoring everything at that stage.
It's in our future innovations for 2025, so it will be there for all of our clients.
Okay, I'm going to go and download that immediately after this. This is Create Tomorrow, and you're listening to a discussion with me, Carla Bazzacchi, and WGSN Director of Interiors, Lisa White, about the Home Lifestyles 2025 white paper, which is designed in a carefully considered palette of restorative hues. Keep listening to find out why green has seized our imaginations. Tell me a bit about colour. Now, colour is one of our absolute favourite topics to forecast at WGSN, and it's also the ultimate unifier. It doesn't matter what product design industry you're in, fashion, beauty, interiors, food and drink, lifestyle, tech, whatever it is, colour plays such an important part in appealing to consumers, reflecting how consumers are living their lives. Now, a lot of what we're producing at the moment, we do with our sister brand, Coloro, and the palette that's chosen throughout this is very important too. So tell me a little bit about the importance of colour in what we've just written.
Yeah, in the white paper, we included colour palettes for each section, because we're moving into an era in which colour will play a huge role in mood management, whether that's the colour of your phone, your lipstick, your raincoat, or your kitchen. And these colours that we see, that touch us and surround us, will be more carefully chosen, again, for long term, to help us feel good. And so we're looking for restorative hues like white and beige and greys and what I'm calling 50 shades of clay. And that makes people feel really peaceful and at ease. Plus, really interesting, we've got increasingly nourishing neutrals such as green, which used to be considered a really unusual color that people didn't like, but it's now considered a sought-after neutral that calms the nervous system. And then on the other hand, we're looking for more immersive hues, like pink walls and floors that make us feel really energized and are absolutely Instagrammable as well.
I don't think there is any way that my husband would let me paint any walls or floors in this house pink. But the green is really interesting. I have a particular favourite paint colour, which is a Farrow and Ball colour called Chromati, and it appears in their grey palette. But actually, in certain lights, it is this green. And if someone had said to me, "You will paint literally half your house green," I would have said they were joking. But I like it so much that pretty much every room in the house is now in this particular Chromati, and it is this very subtle green. And I do find that it uplifts you slightly, but it's also very calming and soothing, which, as you said, is exactly what we need right now.
Exactly. I've got my favorite shade of green at home as well, too. And unfortunately, in my house, we had water damage, and I'm going to have to repaint the ceiling. And I'm going between either a sky blue that will help me feel blue sky every day, or a yellow that will bring sunlight literally into the home, even on a rainy day.
Okay, I like both of those. It is interesting, though, when we live in this increasingly digital age, and we're not going to go into it today, but metaverse obviously is a huge topic that we love debating, and we love forecasting how that's going to change people's lives. But in a digital world, you and I are talking about quite natural colours at the moment. So What's the juxtaposition of those two things?
Well, again, these are contrary things that can coexist at the same time, because, you know, as much as we want to be curled up in the sofa in, you know, a great throw, we also want to have something really immersive online as well, too. But we're seeing these colors jump online and offline. And that's why, for example, next year, our color of the year is digital lavender. And it's a great color. It looks great on clothes, on every skin tone. It's something that looks amazing in, you know, in interior spaces, but then also in color cosmetics and on screen as well, too. So you actually want to inhabit one of those spaces that has digital lavender in it. It feels very digital cozy in a way.
Now, when we started talking today, I was, I guess, introducing this, thinking about how the pandemic changed our behaviours, the fact that many of those behaviours have stayed with us. And although the pandemic may have passed in certain parts of the world, we now have different difficulties. And some of the resilience that we learned during the pandemic is helping us with that. This particular white paper looks forward to 2025. Now, the optimist in me is going to say that hopefully we won't be discussing a cost of living crisis in 2 years' time. We may be, but hopefully some of that will have subsided. And no doubt there will be recessions in some parts of the world, but not all parts of the world. If we are living in a brighter world at that stage, which of the trends that we talk about in this report do you think are going to be most important?
You know, in a way, all these trends are interconnected, if you will. And though we will be living, hopefully, in a brighter world, I think that, quite frankly, the current situation has bruised us a lot. We have, you know, gone in what we're calling a polycrisis right now, and there's a time of uncertainty. So I still think that that trend towards self-care is going to be so important. That's something we've learned about how to take care of ourselves during this polycrisis period. And going forward, people are just going to be much better about managing their mental health, managing their physical health. And I think that's going to be such a long-term trend.
These are just topics, as you said. A, we've become better at teaching ourselves, looking after ourselves, but we've also got a lot better at talking about these topics, reaching out for help, sharing solutions, and as always within this, there are opportunities for brands not to exploit that, but to provide help as well, provide the solutions there, which sometimes consumers might not be able to do completely by themselves and need that kind of stepping stone to that kind of better way of living. Before we wrap up, Lisa, at the beginning you talked about the kind of four main areas that this white paper breaks down into. Is there any particular room in the house that you think is going to be more important come 2025 than it is now? And as a consequence, what brands need to be thinking about to furnish or to supply products for that room?
Well, in many ways, we're still thinking about the entryway as a really important area of the house because, again, during the pandemic, that was a place where we had to leave all the trappings of our outside life and self-sanitize before we went in. But then also as well, too, as we're talking about the DIY boom right now, if you cannot renovate your entire kitchen or living room, you can make a beautiful entryway that, you know, welcomes people coming in, if that's people in your family or if it's welcoming friends. And I think that that is, you know, an area still that's going to be seeing a lot of interest. That, I think, in the self-care bathroom for sure.
Okay, I love that. Now, that's just another area of my house for me to obsess about. I haven't quite got onto the hallway yet. So maybe that's the next project once the roof is all done. Lisa, as always, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much for lifting the lid on the new Home Lifestyles 2025 white paper. And for all of you out there, it's available to download on WGSN.com right now. And for our clients, it's already on all the platforms that you have access to. So if you haven't yet got hold of it, please log on, download the report. And there's so much advice, analysis, insight, and really specific action points, no matter which industry you work in. So do enjoy. Thank you so much to Lisa White for taking time to speak to me today. If you want to download the white paper or find out how to subscribe, head over to WGSN.com to discover how you can get access to our services. We're constantly publishing new content focused on how we can design a better, brighter future for our industries, including food and drink, interiors, beauty, fashion, and consumer tech. You can subscribe to the show on all major podcast platforms. And if you like what you've heard, why not leave us a rating and review on iTunes? I'd also like to thank our podcast producer, Roland Bodenham, and we'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode, when you'll hear from Benjamin Hubert, founder of Layer Design, in conversation with our CMF expert, Ryko Morrison. Until next time.